Glad we serve a God that can make His presence known. I don't know why anybody'd ever serve Muhammad or Confucius or Buddha. They never make the presence known. Maybe a little statue. But I'm glad I've got a God a lot bigger than a statue. And I bless Him. The Bible said in Hebrews 11, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained a witness that he was righteous. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, move with fear and prepared an ark to the saving of his house. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out, he went into a place he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, went out not knowing whether he went. Verse number 9, he sojourned in the land of promise in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles, Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. The Bible said, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, was delivered of a child when she is past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. In verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, they were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now, they desire a better country, and that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. You may be seated this morning. Father, we love You and thank You for this time together. I pray You do big things this morning. God, I see that You're stirring here. God, I thank You for Your presence. I want to thank You, Lord, for touching me back yonder Thursday night. I want to thank You, You're a God that's still touching and talking. Thank You for a God that can be trusted in this day and this hour. Help us now in the preaching, Lord. I need Your touch this morning. Help me, I pray, to be a blessing to Your people. In Jesus' name, I ask. Amen. And amen. Verse 16, but now they desire a better country. That is a heavenly. Watch this phrase. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. I'd like to preach on this topic this morning out of Hebrews 11 on, would God be ashamed to be called your God? Would God be ashamed to be called your God? Now evidently there are some folks that He is ashamed of, or He wouldn't have made this statement. He lets us know through Hebrews 11, there's some He's not ashamed of being their God. I want to ask you this morning, would God be ashamed of you because of your faith? The Bible said in Hebrews 11, verse number 6, you say, preacher, I want to please God. It's impossible without faith. The Bible says, but without faith, it's impossible to please Him. A lot of you wanting to please society. A lot of you wanting to please your employer. And to a certain extent, some of those things are not so bad at times. But it does matter whether you please the Lord. Because the Bible said without faith, it's impossible. Not impractical, but impossible to please. Now watch this. First of all, there's a decision of faith. You say, well, I believe in God. Well, let me ask you this morning. The Bible said, for he that cometh to God, has it ever been a time that you come to God? It's got to be a time, I believe, that no man will ever see heaven without repentance. I believe the Bible teaches godly sorrow, godly repentance. Simply means that a man's going in one direction and he gets tired of that and he starts walking toward his direction. Man's got to be sorry of his sin before he can be saved. You say, well, I believe in God. The Bible said the devils in hell believe and tremble. A lot of people believe in God, but all that believe ain't going to heaven. You got to be saved by the grace of God. Born again from above. Therefore, the Bible simply said this. This thing is a decision. He that cometh, some of you may be in the balance of decision. Let me tell you, he's the greatest thing that would ever happen to you on a Sunday morning if you'd walk out by faith and trust the God of heaven to save you by His amazing grace. I guarantee you'll never please God unless you live by faith. Now we notice there's a decision of faith. And then watch this. Not only a decision of faith, there's a declaration of faith. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. Let me tell you this morning, there's a declaration of faith. He is God and there is none else. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's all in between. There's not only here a decision of faith, but there's a declaration of faith. Let me tell you, you'll never know who God is till you declare Him to be God. God is a jealous God. A lot of you serving idols. A lot of you are chasing a whirlwind. But I'm glad this morning that we can please God by that of faith. Would God be ashamed to be called your God? You walk into your job and you say, I'm a Christian. Would God be ashamed of your faith this morning? When times get hard at your house and people see it getting hard, I appreciate what the young man said this morning. Why serve God? It's not because what I have, it's because who I have. Glory to God. God be ashamed of your faith? Now, there's a decision of faith. There's a declaration of faith. But then watch this. There's a dependence of faith. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. A dependence of faith. Let me tell you what, if anybody's going to get any blessings from God, it will be from God and nobody else. There's a decision of faith and a declaration of faith. There's a dependence of faith. I'm glad, honey, let me tell you, I got some folks that I'm accounting on, but I'm going to tell you who I'm depending on. I'm depending on the Lord Jesus. Then watch this. You ever notice this word, not only the decision of faith and the declaration of faith, the dependence of faith, but did you notice this diligence of faith? Would God be ashamed to be called your God because of the diligence of your faith? Look what He says. He says He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I look that word diligent up. It simply means to crave, to seek after, to search out. In other words, it means that you've had an experience. He becomes your everything. You diligently seek Him. Every morning in your life, God ought to not be an afterthought. He ought to be the first and the foremost of everything that we're about. When our church is gathered together, it's not about happy birthday and anniversaries to Aunt Sally and Aunt Susie, honey. It's not about a drama team. It's not about swallowing goldfish. It's about promoting a God of heaven that loves His children and His own yonder in heaven's throne. There's nobody takes back seat to Him. Oh, I'm going to tell you what, He's first and foremost. And He'll not take back seat for nobody. Now, would God be ashamed to be called your God? First of all, because of your faith. But secondly, would God be ashamed to be called your God because of your friends? You say, why you say that? Well, some of that crowd you running with, nobody can tell you're a Christian. Come out from among them and be you separate. It's not that we're too good or we're sitting on a limb above them, but we don't do what that crowd does. We don't go where they go. Brother Mike got saved out of a pool room. You don't find him there no more. Brother Gerald got saved out of a Legion hall. You don't find him there no more. Would God be ashamed because of your friends? Who you running with? I know we've got to be a light to people. Don't shut me off. But let me tell you something. Would God be disappointed because who you running with? You are who you run with. And I don't give a rip who you are. You are who you run with. And somebody that runs your preacher down and your church down and you out running with them, it makes me wonder, are you doing the same thing? Makes me wonder about the same thing. If somebody's out there and they are living like the devil, and you hobnogging with that crowd, it makes me wonder, are you doing the same thing? When I got saved, I didn't have to change friends. Friends changed me. But I won't tell you, there is one that sticks closer than a brother. He is a friend through it all. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. Look what He said about these folks that He wasn't ashamed to be known as their God. Look what He says about them. In Hebrews 11:23, look what the Bible says. Simply this. By faith, Moses, when he was born, he was hid 3 months of his parents. Because they saw He's a proper child. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect to the recompense of the reward. Verse 27. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured his sin, him who is invisible. This is what I believe. I believe we're to be a light to a lost and a dying world. But we ought not drink their booze. We ought not smoke their weed. We ought not tell their jokes. We ought not go where they're partying at. If you lay with dogs, you're going to catch fleas. And there's nobody here that's beyond where I'm preaching this morning. There's not a soul in this hearing. God has given you a preacher to tell you something this morning. You better watch your friends that you're hanging with. You know what I've noticed by experience? You know the reason I know you're doing some things by who you're running with? Because when I quit doing the things I was doing, they dropped me. They didn't want me at their parties no more. They didn't want me in their car no more. They didn't want me in their boat no more. Man, when I got saved, it's like the phone got took out of my house. You can ask my wife, when I had weed and a boat full of gas, the phone ring off the hook on Friday. Where are we fishing tomorrow? Oh, I can't take you. Somebody else has done call. Try next Saturday. Boy, when I got saved, I went to the Bass Club. We had this big meal We'd always catch fish at Lake Martin as the cleanest fish around. We'd clean that. You don't want to eat them out of West Point, out of the Chattahoochee. Somebody say amen right there. Friend, they like neon. They like glow worms when you put them in the boat. I mean, they'll burn your carpet when they put over in the boat. We'd go down there and clean them. Me and Miss Renee went over to Carrollton, had a big pavilion rented. God had just saved me and called me to preach. God got to knocking in my heart like Brother Eric. I knowed I had to say something, but I just sort of dreaded to. But once I got started, it's like jumping in the swimming pool after Labor Day, honey. Once you go in, you're going in too deep, and you might as well keep it going toward the deep end. Hallelujah. I said, well, I want to say something. Said the Lord saved me and called me to preach. It wasn't long, Brother Lee. God got to putting new friends in my environment. Friends that I could look to and get help in my life. I wonder, would God be ashamed to be called your God because who you running with? I believe we're to be a light. You say, well, preacher, how can we win them to God? Not by doing what they do. You say, well, what about the business world? Well, I've rubbed shoulders with the best of them too. They had a big casino night one time set up. Buffalo Rock, Birmingham, Alabama. Boy, the more Pepsi Colas you sold, the more tickets you had. I just give my tickets away. Sitting there at the tent door, having me a Pepsi in my hand. Man walked up to me and this is what he said. He said, I admire you for being a Christian in this environment. You see, people's watching you when you think nobody else is watching you. And the devil will never show you what you got, just what you ain't got. I left out of here Wednesday night so defeated. The devil said, why in the world did you preach that Wednesday night? Ain't nobody listening. I've had more compliments on Wednesday night than I've had in a long time. The devil's not in the encouraging business. You better realize, honey, this thing is a warfare. There's a God in heaven to please. And if we please Him, it's worth everything this morning. I've heard calm down more than one time. I've heard settle down, don't get so excited. I've heard don't run around hack, spit, and slobber. Well, honey, if that's what you're called to do and that's who you are, that's all you can ever do. Some of you say, well, will you ever quit preaching out of a King James Bible? How could somebody preach the way I preach out of anything else? It's hard for a man to hack and snot on the NIV. Amen. The Bible's what's built this church, not an NIV. If you want to destroy it, change Bibles. If you want to destroy this church, hey, change music. It's working. Stay with what God's a blessing. I got to looking at you young families this morning. Families driving from Anniston, from Billerica, driving from all around. Isn't it amazing? Somebody said, old time religion don't work. Honey, you better look around here and let you realize God's still in the working bit. Hell, is anybody glad they down in Liberty Baptist Church on a Sunday morning? I'm glad there's a God that's still a blessing and a working in these days and this time. God honors this book, not personalities. God honors His Word. And I thank Him for that. It's amazing to me, Renee, God has entrusted me and you with this book to tell a people. Brother Marley, sometimes I'm overwhelmed by the responsibility. Sometimes God will throw the cover off and say, I say, and He just settled me back down, put me in the Holy Ghost, and just let me go to preaching. Just me and Him are walking through here. Boy, when God's on you, you'll go bear hunting with a switch. When He ain't on you, I'd rather be with a coloring book down yonder in my study somewhere. Amen. I wonder if God be ashamed to be called your God because of your faith. Let me tell you something. If you're going to serve God, it's going to take faith. Faith is never convenient. I believe with all my heart God's wanting us to go that direction. All my heart I believe it. If I didn't, I wouldn't fool with it. But it's going to require some faith. It's going to require some faith from your preacher. It's going to require some faith from you. Realizing God can. God will. And God wants to. Boy, I'm going to tell you, those that operate by faith please Him. I want to please Him, don't you? And I've noticed this too. I've noticed the folks that wouldn't please with me. If I just move with faith, it pleased Him, and that's all that matters. It don't matter as long as He's pleased with it. Friend, He can do anything. He can do anything. Lord, I want to tell you from these people, I know there's nothing too hard for You. I'm amazed You'd even save me and call me to pray. But I will say, I want to thank You one day that You did. I want to thank You that You gave me a handful of people to start a ministry. God, how You breathed on it and blessed it. And I want to say I praise You. And I know where my bread's buttered this morning. You ought to be glad that God's put you in His presence. You ought to be glad you can raise your children in an environment where somebody can get up and preach right to them. You ought to thank God for that. You ought to thank God you got some leadership in your church that'll lead you right. Sometimes folks come in, I notice they try to change our environment. I just turn it up. Because if you don't like riding horses, ain't no sense fooling with a horse. Somebody say amen. We ain't having cowboy church neither. I seen one crazy ad, the stupidest thing I've ever seen. This is a place for people who don't like church. Well, how crazy is that? That's a new level of crazy. We're going to have a church for people who don't like church. What? Well, won't you go join them folks at the boat dock down there at Weedowee, Alabama? Lakeside Church. Come in your Bermuda drawers and your bikinis. But we're going to be focused on God that day, ain't we? Come on, help me preach this morning. Reminds me of Facebook around here. Why people won't take their clothes off in the public? Well, get quiet. I got to move. Would God be ashamed to be called your God because of your faith? Can you believe God? Let me tell you, there's a God that can be trusted. Because your faith, because your friends. What about because of your fortunes? Look in verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. I wonder would God be ashamed to be called your God because your finances, you won't tithe? It's one of the best sermons I've had in a long time. Watch this. They's already been. Now this is amazing to me. I've not pulled a pen out. I've not added nothing. Brother Dwayne stood up. Young man, Brother Eric stood up. And look right here is by my notes. Matthew 6 and 19. Turn there this morning. Matthew 6 and 19. Will God be displeased being called your God because of your fortune? Now watch this. Moses is simply what he said. He said, I know I can have everything in the palace, but it ain't nothing like having You, Lord. He said, I know that I can sit in the highest chariot in Egypt. Said, Pharaoh's daughter, she's raised me up. I'm a stepchild of Pharaoh. But that's hogwash to me. Boy, I wish I could get a hold of some folks this morning that could realize that everything in this world is going to burn up one day. You listen to me. I preached a bunch of funerals. I preached too many. But I ain't never seen one yet with a trailer hitch behind that coffin. I ain't never seen one. Watch this right here. Matthew 6, 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doeth corrupt. Now, probably everybody in this church believes in John 3, 16. Won't you believe this verse? Where moth and rust doeth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. You say, what happened to the young singer this week? Well, he's out singing for the Lord, and some thugs come in, stole everything he had in Mount Zion. I know how it is. Me and my wife had been, we'd went to church where we was, come home. That done broke in. That's a bad feeling when folks have been around your stuff. You know what I found out? The Bible's true. Where moth and rust doth corrupt. You ever had a good shiny pocket knife and put it up and pulled it out because you didn't wipe it off and looked at it? One of my prizes possession shotguns. You know what? If I handle it, pull it out, you know what's happened? Rust is eating it up. Look where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. Where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Verse 24, for no man, and buddy, he noted when he wrote this verse, didn't he? No man can serve two masters. For either he'll hate the one, love the other, else he'll hold the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. God will not take back seat to your finances. Look at this verse underlined. It's powerful. I'm closing. Some of you done got more preaching than you want this morning. Matthew 6, 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. Look, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I put this note here also. Get back over here to text. This is a great passage. I want you to look at Hebrews 10, 34. Watch this verse that connects it. It's amazing. Hebrews 10 and 34. I myself think the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. That's just my opinion. I know that the language and the verbiage is so much like the Apostle Paul's writing. But I want you to look at what this writer said in Hebrews 10 and 34. This is what he said. He said, for ye had compassion on me in my bonds, and ye took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. In other words, they gave to him and the ministry to help because they knew they were sending their treasures above. Did you know every time that you pay your tithes to God, you're sending things above? When you help a missionary, did you know that you're sending things above? Did you know when you help people that don't have it? And by the way, I don't know why you ever thought that the Bible told you to give to them people that love you. He said, give to those that have need. He said, if you would give, you shall receive. The Bible said in the book of Proverbs or the book of Psalms, I think it's the book of Psalms, He said, he that giveth to the poor shall come back to him. When you're working for the Lord, you're sending things above. In God's big storehouse where it's protected. Let me ask you, when you get to heaven, you better have some things laid up for you. That's where we receive crowns. We can throw at His feet. None of us going to get there and gloat about what we've done. Don't think it's going to be a party up there. We're going to sing happy birthday to me. It's going to be all about Jesus. Boy, let me tell you, God has entrusted us with so many things. And I'm going to tell you, the least we can do is bless Him and be consistent in our tithes and our offerings and our thanksgiving unto the Lord. You say, you want them preachers about money. I preach about money because it's in the Bible. I don't get to go back to a lot of places, but I do preach about it. You say, well, we're going to give by love offering. This don't run by love offering. You might not be in love next Sunday. When you're running nearly 60 missionaries, somebody better be tithing. Say amen. But boy, don't God bless you for you giving. Let's move that. Let's get to thinking about what He does do. God's been good to you. Let me ask you something. If God never give you another thing, would you still serve Him? Does God have to give you trinkets to get you here? God help the preacher that'll give big screen TVs for the largest crowd on Sunday. We ought to be coming to the house of God because we love Him. And we want to serve Him. And we want to do more for Him. He saved you, got you out of hell. You ought to be thankful to a God that do that. That send His Son in spite of who we are. You'd change our church going. Would God be ashamed to be called your God because of your faith? Because of your friends? Because of your finances? Or what about your fascination? Are you excited about serving God? Verse 33-40, you ought to read it. They had stonings and scourgings. Their children burned to the stake, but they wouldn't say no. They served their God, and they were excited about God. If there's ever been a time that we ought to be fascinated with His power and His wonders and His marvels, it ought to be this morning. God's a fascinating God. I wonder, we walk in here this morning, with Brother Tim was singing that first song. I get to thinking, boy, we get so routine and so used to everything. Man, if it ever dawned on us that God was preparing for us a place in heaven, God had got us out of a place of torment, this building wouldn't hold us. Brother Chad wouldn't be the only one jumping pews this morning. Brother Eric wouldn't be the only one squalling around this church this morning. If we realized just how good our God's been to us, hey, wouldn't fascination come back to our heart and realize and let us fall in love with Him again? Oh God, You've been good to me. Has God been good to anybody in the house of God this morning? Would God be pleased to be your God by your fascination about Him? Boy, I love Him and I praise Him. And then I will close with this. Would God be ashamed to be called your God, not only because of your fortune or your fascination, but because, what about, of your finish? Look what He said right here. This is an amazing thing in Hebrews 11. This is a great text. Don't miss it. Verse number 8, Hebrews 11, 8. By faith Abram, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, he obeyed, went out, not knowing where he went. That's faith. Now watch this. Verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. What? Yeah, God didn't have to give them trinkets to serve Him. They didn't receive the promise yet. What are you talking about? Well, there was promises of a Messiah that would come. They never had seen Him yet. There's promises about a church, Brother Jake, that was coming, but none of these Old Testament saints got to see that yet. They'd heard about the shadows and the types of an old rugged cross, but they didn't get to see that yet. Though prophets would scream and cry, there's going to be a complete Word of God coming one day. They never did get to see that yet. Something about the Holy Spirit would come upon men, but they never did get to experience the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. They hadn't received their promises yet. But watch this. Let me tell you something. You'll never die in faith unless you live in faith. You hear me? These all died in faith. You know why? Because they started in faith. And you know what? I tell you why they died in faith. Because they lived in faith. If there's ever been a time that I want to die right, it is this morning. You hear me? It is this morning. Miss Emily, would you come? It is this morning that I want to die right. And I want to say this. If 20 years from now, Brother Larry wouldn't let me die right, I want to go today. Now you watch what they said right here. This is good stuff. Are you ready? It's just 20 after. Some of y'all look at me like it's Labor Day weekend. I pin this down. I want you to look right here. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but have seen them afar off and persuaded them and embraced them and confessed they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Now, I want you to be reminded this morning, there are some things that make you turn back. Don't get too high on the limb and get to crowing about I won't, because it's in you that you can. Watch this. If you truly have been mindful of that country, you might would have went back. It does matter what you're thinking about. And let me help you as you preacher this morning, because you're going to go home and talk about me anyway. I might as well give you something to talk about. If you give all your time in front of that tube, you know what it's going to do? It's going to entice you to turn back and go back. If you spend all your free time in this world, that's a force that's pulling on you. But watch this. He said, truly, if they'd been mindful of that country, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country. Boy, I want to finish right. You know, look in verse 39, Hebrews 11, 39, and I'm going to be done. These all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. But look at verse 40. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. What's he saying? God's provided something better for this crowd, for the New Testament church, that the Old Testament crowd never had. That's what the Bible said. He says he's provided some better things for us. What are they? Well, I want to say, first of all, there's a completed book of the Scripture this morning. There's not another Bible. Everything you'll ever need for your life's right here. Every answer you ever need, it's in this Bible right here. We've got a book, the Scripture. Then we've got, not only the book, the Scripture, we've got the benefit of the Savior. You see, they only had types and shadows of that cross. They only had types of a sacrifice. But now we can read historically. And in our Bible, where Jesus took our place and got on a cross, there's some better things there for us. We can realize, see, they've only heard maybe some inklings and glimpses of Christ, but now we know all about Him. There's the benefit of the Savior. And then there's the bestowal of the Spirit. You see, we've got the Spirit of God lives in us. The Old Testament crowd never had that. The Spirit of God came upon them and used them. Now He comes in the believers and indwells them. Then there's the bond of the saints. Now, I can't say this enough, because I want to say this, and I don't want to say this so the devil will blow your brains out. But I want to say this. God used you to help your preacher Thursday night. God used you. I was sitting there and just preaching. All of a sudden, there's a warmness come over me that I ain't felt in 3 months. The Holy Ghost moved in me Thursday night by you preaching. You know why? The bond of the saint. Brother Joe, thank God that you had a heart to put this back together in this church. Fellowship of the men. You helped your preacher by doing it. Brother Jerry, thank you for your sacrifice that you come and you cook when nobody else was there. You come. Thank you for helping your preacher Thursday night. The bond of the saints, the Old Testament saints didn't have that. The blessing of the sanctuary, they didn't have that. They couldn't come to an altar the way you can come this morning. They had to stay in the outer court. They could only come so far. And the priest had to take their sacrifice and offer it to God. But now the Lord Jesus is our sacrifice and priest. Now we can come in the Holy of Holies by the altar of God through the faith of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, He's done a lot more for us than He did that Old Testament crowd. I want to ask you this morning, this altar's open, it's in the place.